Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We continue our conversation on the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Everyone who calls or emails us with a question or a comment on the Lord's Prayer will get a free pamphlet called What About the Lord's Prayer? Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. We also have an in-studio email address. That means you email us, and we get it right here in the studio during the conversation, and we're able to post it as a question or a comment for our guest, and you can hear the response, issuesetc@kfuo.org, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Pastor Bender, welcome back for the second hour.
Good to be back.
Let's go straight to the phones. We'll start this hour with Teresa in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin. Teresa, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi. I just wanted to say a few things about, you know, how it says in the part about the daily bread, you were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the daily bread is like the word that sustains us in this life, not only for our food. And whenever we take the word of God into our life, it's like it says in the rest of the word, it says it's like a lamp unto our feet and a guide that directs us.
Thank you very much, Teresa. A good comment. Picking up on some previous comments of callers in the last hour on daily bread, Pastor Bender.
Well, I think it is interesting to note that both callers emphasized something that we as Christians are always emphasizing, and that is that there's more to life than what feeds the body and what clothes the body, what nourishes the body. As Jesus himself says in the Sermon on the Mount, is not life more than clothing, and the body more, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And of course it is, and it involves faith in him and salvation in him. But that doesn't mean God is not concerned about providing us with our daily needs. And one of the places in which anxiety afflicts us is over the daily needs of life. And when we pray the fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread, it's not as if God will not provide for us if we do not pray this prayer. It is rather that he teach us to trust in him and to relieve the anxiety from our lives so that we depend upon him for the daily bread that he promises.
So the goal in each and every case, I think we talked about this a bit in the last hour, the goal in each and every case of the Lord's Prayer's various petitions is ultimately faith in our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ.
That's right, reliance upon him. And that's what God's Word is always about. It's his promises which call us to faith, which call us to trust in him. And prayer is the voice of faith. When he's kindled faith in our hearts by his word, faith speaks, and it speaks not the thoughts of our hearts, but the thoughts of God's heart. And those thoughts are clearly expressed in the Lord's Prayer in each of these petitions. And so we ought to think of prayer as the voice of faith. And just as a child first learned to speak by listening to Mama and Daddy, and began to speak using Daddy's words, so we, as the children of God, learn to cry out to him and address him as dear children using his words.
It reminds me of a conversation we had some years back with a mutual friend, one of the professors at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, now, and he said, this is something he had written, he said, I paraphrase, prayer does not begin in our need, but prayer begins in the Word of God.
That's right. And every petition of the Lord's Prayer, you know, opens up to us, as I said, the richness of God's Word. We ought to think of the Psalms as prayers also. And when we, in our divine services, pray a psalm and do it responsively, that's exactly how I introduce it. Not let's read this psalm, but let us pray this psalm, because Those psalms, many of which were written by David, were first and foremost prayers. And what is interesting to note is that those psalm prayers so often draw upon the promises of God and his faithful care to the children of Israel that in their history that preceded David, and that is articulated in the Torah, in the books of Moses, and so forth. And that's the nature of prayer. It lives from God's word as the voice of faith, as it cries out to him for all our needs.
But that turns our natural idea of prayer on its head, because our natural idea of prayer is, I have needs, and number one, if they're pressing enough, and if I can make my case convincingly enough, often through, you know, heartfelt sincerity or something, and if I can maybe add a little bit of icing on the cake for God and maybe sway him by improved behavior, then I can be relatively sure that he will answer my prayers. That's the way we think about prayer.
Yeah, and that really is wrongheaded, because it places our will ahead of God's will. The Apostle Paul certainly would be thought of by all of our listeners who are Christians as a man of great faith. But he besought the Lord, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, three times to remove from him this thorn in the flesh. And the reference to three times there certainly cannot be taken to mean that he just simply prayed three short prayers, Lord, take this away. The Lord didn't, so then he was stuck with it. But rather this fervent yearning and desire of Paul that he could function better as an apostle if whatever this thorn in the flesh was were removed from him. And the Lord's response to him, which is given to Paul for our benefit, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so often in life, we think that what is best for us, according to our will, is that we avoid all suffering, that we avoid all hardship, to put it succinctly, that we avoid the cross. But in reality, sometimes, according to God's will, what would be far better for us is pain and sickness and hardship and suffering. Because through these circumstances in our lives, he so often teaches us the wonders of what Jesus did in his suffering for our salvation in a way in which we would not learn apart from such hardship. And so when we pray, thy will be done in the Lord's Prayer, we should think of Jesus and his prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. And apart from his pain and suffering there and upon the cross, there would be no salvation for us. Therefore, we rest that God's will is good, even if it contradicts all of my thinking about what would be best.
With only a minute here, we had callers in the previous hour who were insistent that the Lord's prayers should be primarily an outline or a jumping off point, a springboard for our spontaneous prayers or our own prayers of our own invention. Not to go that direction, but to simply say, is the Lord's prayer also an outline of Jesus' own teaching? It strikes me that the places Jesus visits in the Lord's prayer, in each one of its parts, can be expanded upon by other explicit teachings of Jesus elsewhere in the Gospels. I mean, you can just list Bible passages galore for each and every one of these things that Jesus talks about in the Lord's Prayer.
Sure. You think about God's will. God desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, that none perish, and so forth. Give us this day our daily bread, those passages, some of which we've already mentioned, about how he provides for the lilies of the field, and if he so clothes them, will he not also clothe you? And so absolutely, and other commentators have commented on how the Lord's Prayer in many respects parallels the Ten Commandments and some of the needs that are talked about in the Ten Commandments are then prayed for in the Lord's Prayer. And certainly those early petitions, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, In those petitions, you have the first commandment that we should have no other gods, but we should fear and love and trust in him above all things.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, go to the phone calls. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. He is director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. When we come back, something he's kind of led to it there by his last response, something near and dear to Pastor Bender's heart, I know, teaching our children to pray the Lord's Prayer. We'll be right back. Martin Luther is hailed as one of the most influential church reformers of the 16th century. But what kind of ideas drove Martin Luther? How was Luther's theology related to his ideas on politics or philosophy? Luther's World of Thought is our Issues Etc. book of the month for August. This hardback book is $29.99 plus shipping and handling. For more information about Luther's World of Thought, call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. You'll find Luther's World of Thought right there on our homepage, issuesetc.org. Learn more about Martin Luther's world and Martin Luther's thought with Luther's World of Thought, issuesetc.org, or 1-800-325-3040. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for August.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the importance of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and his saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift this week. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can make a credit card donation by calling our resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Everybody who calls tonight with a question or a comment on the Lord's Prayer gets the pamphlet called What About the Lord's Prayer? 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Well, we've talked a lot about the Lord's Prayer, Pastor Bender, from the perspective of kind of adults discussing this prayer in light of Scripture. I want you to talk, if you would, for a while about teaching this is the prayer which we teach our children to pray. I was raised with the nighttime prayers that most kids learned in a Christian house, Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, or something along those lines. And I certainly learned the Lord's Prayer, but I think it was probably taught me better in the course of going to church every Sunday rather than taught by my parents explicitly. Talk about teaching children the Lord's Prayer.
I think it is very important to teach children the Lord's Prayer, and so that they can learn to pray it word for word. And I think it's very important to teach them what it means, and to do so particularly by the use of Bible stories. Our Father who art in heaven. We think of Jesus with the little children who are brought to him. And those who would say children ought not to learn the Lord's Prayer because they won't understand a word of it should remember how Jesus rebuked those who wanted to send the children away and said, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them. And he took them up and he placed them on his knee and he blessed them. So you can find Bible stories that illustrate and articulate each of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. And we already mentioned several tonight, with Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will but thine be done, is an illustration of that third petition. And when in the parables, when Jesus is speaking of the unmerciful servant and talking about forgiveness of sins there, we have an illustration of the fifth petition. And this goes on and on. When he delivers from demonic possession and when he restores faith to those who are broken and troubled because of their sins, we see him delivering from evil and leading in the way that leads to everlasting life. And children gravitate to the Lord's Prayer, and learning to understand it, the more we make use of the Bible stories and Jesus' own teaching in the New Testament.
This is an email from Paul in Milwaukee. He writes this, quoting from a petition of the Lord's Prayer, "As we forgive those who trespass against us," he asks, "could this be revisited? The language itself would imply reciprocation, or broadly a three-way quid pro quo. Does our fellow man have to acknowledge his sin against me for the forgiveness process to begin, for me to forgive him?" He says, "I found clergy who don't give a direct answer to the last question. Do we forgive in absentia?" Let's deal with the whole thing there based upon his email. First of all, it sounds like a condition that, and this seems to have some support elsewhere in Scripture, that if we do not forgive our brother, then we should not expect forgiveness from God. Let's deal with that part of it first, Pastor Bender.
Okay, that's good. It's certainly not a case of good works, my good works, in this case, my good work of forgiving someone, causes God to forgive me. It is rather a question of faith. That is to say, if I refuse forgiveness to someone, whether they've acknowledged their sin or not is quite beside the point, if I refuse forgiveness to them and insist on retribution and their condemnation, then I deny the very faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sins, a faith which says my sins are forgiven not on the basis of my works, but on the basis of God's grace alone. So it is not that my forgiving someone is a good work that causes God to forgive me, but rather my forgiving someone flows from my faith in Christ's forgiveness that is not by works but by grace alone.
Okay, then you just mentioned something in passing that goes to Paul's question, and that is, you said whether the sin against me is acknowledged or unacknowledged is beside the point. What
Correct.
Do you mean by that?
Well, none of us as Christians has the right to hold the sins of another against them. That doesn't mean we don't judge between what is right and what is wrong. But we are all called to live in a posture of forgiveness to others. This is clearly what Jesus is teaching in that parable that I mentioned of the unmerciful servant from Matthew chapter 18. The one servant is forgiven by his master, and then he turns around and demands full payment and will not rest until he gets it from someone who has sinned or is indebted against him. And he is cast out. Why? Because, not because he hasn't done enough good works of forgiving, but because his refusal to forgive is a renunciation of faith. It is simply the posture of Christian faith to be in a state of forgiveness toward others at all times, letting God be the judge, which is what Jesus talks about in the Sermon on the Mount. Judge not. Why? You will not be judged. Condemn not. Why? You will not be condemned. If you judge and condemn to hell those who have sinned against you, then you place yourself outside of faith in God's grace.
And so where did this idea get currency among Christians? And it is very widespread and very popular among Christians that, yeah, if my brother repents, I'm obligated to forgive him. But if he doesn't repent, then I am pretty much free to hold the grudge or not forgive him. Where did this idea come from?
Well, it came from our sinful flesh. That's always the way the flesh operates, because the flesh, the faith of our sinful flesh, is always a works righteous faith, which is always a faith which says, you've got to do something in order to merit forgiveness in some way, shape, manner, or form. In this case, repentance itself becomes the good work of the individual. Now, to be sure, before God, you know, those who do not repent, who refuse to hear the word of God's law and say, yes, I am a sinner, but rather reject that word and say, I need no salvation. To be sure, such are not saved from their sin, but not because God does not have forgiveness for them, not because Jesus has not died for their sins, not because God does not love them for Christ's sake, but because they have rejected it in their unbelief. And so also, if God has forgiveness for all and desires all to be saved, then so we also as Christians are called to live in that same posture toward others.
So this is why Luther, when he's explaining the very wording that Paul's asking about, forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, says, God forgives us for Christ's sake, and so we gladly, because of this forgiveness, forgive our neighbor when he trespasses against us.
That's right.
The sequence is correct there.
That's correct. And what we're really praying for in that fifth petition is that God would fix our hearts and our minds on what Jesus has done for us, on his grace for us. And with the eyes of faith fixed there, it is simply impossible, contrary to faith, to refuse forgiveness to those who have sinned against us.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer tonight on Issues Etc. He's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy as well. You can join our conversation 1-800-730-2727 or email us here in the studio, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Everybody who calls or emails gets a copy of the pamphlet, What About the Lord's Prayer? 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya on the work of LCMS World Relief.
LCMS World Relief has come to our church as a real relief organization and has really supported a lot of projects in our church. An example is relief to our pastors by giving a cow to every pastor, which has been done to all pastors now. And LCMS World Relief has come in to support. Our deaconesses are working with women. It is true that God really sent LCMS World Relief to come to our aid at a real critical time, at a real time of need. The presence of LCMS in our church has been felt almost in every corner of the church by what has been taking place.
To support the work of LCMS World Relief, call them toll-free, 888-930-4438.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again, talking with Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief, about the world's AIDS crisis. Matt, talk about how the AIDS crisis especially affects children.
Nearly 20% of AIDS deaths are children. Children who, through absolutely no ethical or moral fault of their own, have this curse upon them. And these are children where it's very easy to look upon them in pictures and say, well, they are those children. But then you meet them, each one of them, and you hear each one's name. And you talk to them about where they go to church and what they dream about and what they would like to have in their little lives, something as simple as a chair, let alone a toy or a bed or somebody who loves them, and you can't but respond.
How is LCMS World Relief and the many who support it, how are they responding to this crisis?
Traditionally, we've done most of the response by way of education. That is, we've provided resources to our partners, many in Africa, but also AIDS in Thailand becomes a real is becoming an extreme challenge, and also in Russia, providing dollars so that pastors, church workers, health workers can be trained on AIDS. So education is very important, and we believe education is really key within a strong Lutheran context of law and gospel, and one that has a proper understanding of sexuality as God's gift, and the blessings that God gives us there, and the blessings of faithfulness and monogamy. So that has been important. We have, in the last several years, been very active with several orphanages in Kenya, and that has been just a wonderful joy. We just finished building a brand new orphanage that houses about 60 children. It's amazing. For about $30,000, we were able to build a complete orphanage. We just added to the Matongo Orphanage in western Kenya an entire medical clinic for really very little money comparatively. And we're increasingly going in this direction, providing resources for congregations in Africa so they can deal with their own HIV/AIDS orphans.
LCMS World Relief offers Christ-centered, cross-focused help to victims of the world's AIDS crisis. For more information about LCMS World Relief, find them at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call them toll-free 1-888-930-4438, LCMS World Relief, concerned for both body and soul. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Peter Bender, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, is our guest. Pastor Bender, before we go on with the Lord's Prayer conversation, what is the Concordia Catechetical Academy?
Oh, I was hoping you would ask. The Concordia Catechetical Academy, as you know, Todd, is an auxiliary of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, comprised of other concerned Lutheran clergy from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and laymen who are interested in promoting Martin Luther's small catechism and faithful Lutheran catechesis, not only in the United States but abroad. We have an annual symposium that takes up various catechetical topics, how to teach the faith, everything from the Ten Commandments to the Lord's Prayer to baptism and the Lord's Supper. That annual symposium is each June, and it runs for about 3 days, the third week of June. And then we produce catechetical materials, and our materials are not only produced in English, but through our partnership with other organizations overseas, they're being translated for various countries in South America, Africa, and Asia.
Folks, you can check out the website for the Concordia Catechetical Academy by visiting our website, issuesetc.org. Look under the section titled Links. They're on the left-hand side of the page. Scroll down, and you'll find a direct link to Pastor Peter Bender of the Concordia Catechetical Academy, or you can call our Issues Etc. resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, and we'll give you the phone number and the mailing address for the Concordia Catechetical Academy. You can find out about their symposium in summer 2007 by either going to our website, issuesetc.org, or calling 1-800-737-0172. Let's go to the phones. Dusty's in Tecumseh, Oklahoma, listening on KQCV. Hi, Dusty.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
Well, I had a comment about the Lord's Prayer. I've noticed in the last couple of years there's a doctrine going around that has been dubbed the Word of Faith doctrine, and I've taken into consideration the fact that when Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven, he said, "Give us this day our daily bread," which the way I interpret that is give us what we need today and not necessarily what is extra. He didn't pray for give us this bread and butter. He prayed for, give us this bread. And that kind of contradicts a lot of what I know the Word of Faith doctrine to teach.
Thank you very much, Dusty. Pastor Bender, one of the things he brings up, and I think you mentioned this earlier in our conversation, that this is a day-by-day prayer, and this is a prayer for what God deems necessary in our life, not necessarily what we think is necessary or even what we desire. Your thoughts?
That's true. As we had said earlier, we're praying that God would lead us to trust Him to give us day by day, not what we in our flesh might demand, but which He in His gracious providence has promised us, knows that we need, and will give us according to His good and gracious will. And so, because he certainly gives daily bread to everyone, and I think people ought to pause and reflect upon this. Every morsel of food, every ray of sunshine, every drop of rain that is received by any person on this planet is part of the daily bread that God gives to everyone, even people who do not believe in Him. And so when we as Christians pray this petition, we want God to day by day direct our eyes to Him, to trust Him for this, to give thanks to Him for this, and to receive our daily bread in faith and thanksgiving.
I also wanted to talk about a rather odd way, because one of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer we discussed before was, Thy will be done.
Sure.
There's an odd way that Christians have come to think about God's will, and you hear it in just average everyday speech among Christians, and it's really caught on and become kind of a framework for understanding, or I would say misunderstanding, the will of God. Christians will talk about, are you in God's will? And I think the picture here is that God has a will for your life, kind of down to the minutest detail, and it's your job to kind of find it. And if you're not in it, then you can't expect much from God, but your job kind of day to day is to stay like a moving target in the bullseye of wherever God's will is. But it's more or less a mystery that you have to find by trial or error. Is this what Jesus is talking about when he says, Thy will be done?
And no, it is not what he's talking about at all. And a lot of times this sentiment leads people into kind of searching their daily experience for signs from God as to what His will is. God's Word tells us what His will is. We are called to faith in Him. And faith is not lived by sight. Faith is lived by the promises of God's Word. And so He's given each of us a vocation where He has called us to be His Christians. It includes such things as being husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, and whatever employment we have. He's given us daily work to do, not chiefly for our own personal gain or benefit, but that we might be of service to others, even as God is constantly doing and giving and providing for us. So when we pray, Thy will be done, we're praying that He would help us to trust in His Word, and that He would break our flesh and keep us from following the appetites and the false faith and the idolatrous desires of our flesh, and that He would break the devil's will and that of the world around us, that our eyes of faith might be fixed clearly upon Jesus and upon the words and promises of God, which give not uncertainty, but certainty. And that's the other thing that troubles me about so many people who actually use a phrase like, Thy will be done in their prayers. They don't use it in the sense of the Lord's Prayer. In the Lord's Prayer, we're actually praying for God's certain will, not His uncertain or His hidden will, but His certain will. So, for example, we don't say, forgive us our sins if it is your will. I mean, it is clearly God's will for the Christian in Christ Jesus, and according to the gospel, that their sins be forgiven. So we can pray that petition with absolute confidence.
then I guess it kind of raises the question that maybe we haven't addressed completely or explicitly already in this conversation, and that is, why should Christians expect God to hear and answer any prayer, including the Lord's Prayer?
Why should Christians expect God to answer any prayer, including the Lord's Prayer?
Or we could put it this way, why does God hear and answer prayer?
Because he has promised to do so. Therefore, it is very important that our prayers be anchored in what he's promised. And that's why I think in tonight's conversation, you and I are stressing the Lord's Prayer and its centrality to the Christian faith and life and understanding of prayer, because there we know what God's will is, and he delights in hearing this because he wants not only to do all of those things that we pray for in the Lord's Prayer, but he wants us to look to him for it and to trust in him for these things. And I think in the catechesis that Jesus himself gave, the instruction that he gave on the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, we had talked a little bit about it. He is constantly drawing upon the understanding that the first person of the Holy Trinity is our Father in heaven. And just as if our earthly fathers know how to give good things to those who ask, to their children who ask them, even if their children ask for things that are not necessarily the best for them, but the Father, the earthly Father, knows how to give good things to his children, even though he's a sinner, how much more, Jesus says, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And the gift of the Holy Spirit comes by God's word, by what he promises. And so he bids us to engage in this conversation of faith wherein he speaks and we cry out to him in faith that we might enjoy the very things that he has promised in his word, which he doesn't want to withhold from us, but which he freely gives for Christ's sake.
Let's talk with Rana in Palo Alto, California, listening on KFAX. Rana, we got 1 minute before our break.
Hi, I just have a quick comment about lead us not into temptation or evil. It just sounds so sinister, and I have been doing something else. I've been substituting the word testing for that because it seems as though Satan does a lot of testing, and so I've been saying lead us away from testing, and I had read a book one time that talked about lead us around something, like if God is leading us through when we come to a puddle, lead us around the puddle, for lack of better words.
All right, Rana, thank you very much. On the other side of this break, we'll see what Pastor Bender makes of this. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Dr. Carl Fekencher on the Center of Seminary Life at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Certainly, we would begin by expressing our strong commitment to the Scriptures and the Lutheran Confessions. Everything that we do here is gathered around God's Word, whether that is a matter of our daily worship in the chapel or the prayer life that is a part of our activity together. The classes themselves are always focused on proclaiming Christ as well. I think another very important aspect of our seminary that makes us unique is the relationship between the faculty and the students. And of course, always it's based on our shared faith in Christ Jesus.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, or to schedule an on-campus visit, call 1-800-481-2155. 1-800-481-2155.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This isn't your grandfather's church. God is doing a new thing. Deeds, not creeds. You've heard Christians say things like this. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article for the Next Issues, Etc. journal titled Things Christians Say But Shouldn't. We'll send you a free complimentary copy. Just call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. What's wrong with statements like a church for our generation, be all you can be Christianity, or reinventing church? Find out with the Next Issues, Etc. journal. Plus, the Wittenberg Trail feature details Dr. Chris Mitchell's journey from skeptical atheism to the certainty of the gospel. 1-800-737-0172. Now, if you enjoy Issues, Etc., the radio show, you need to get the Issues, Etc. journal. Ask for a free complimentary copy. 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Well, if you're enjoying the biblical insights of our guest in this hour, Pastor Peter Bender, be sure to tune in later this month for a three-part series with Pastor Bender on the Nicene Creed. We're going to be doing it August 21st, 22nd, and 23rd on our Local Issues, Etc. program, a three-part series on the Nicene Creed with Pastor Peter Bender, August 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Rana called before the break, Pastor Bender, and she said, and I understand what she's saying. Those words near the end of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, have a rather sinister overtone. I think that's intended. And she's been substituting the word trial or testing for temptation. What are your thoughts?
The two petitions go together, and they are speaking about some very sinister things. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, takes us biblically right back to the Garden of Eden, when the devil tempted Adam and Eve to turn away from the life-giving Word of God. What did Satan do? He attempted to deceive them and to mislead them. Where? Into false belief. To lead them from false belief into sin, and out of that comes despair and great shame as they covered themselves, and a bondage to sin, which is sometimes called vice. And so it very much is a sinister thing. It's not simply kind of like, help me, Lord, so that no bad stuff happens to me. I don't get a flat tire today. Lead me not into a time of testing, where I have to figure out how to get to work on time when I have a flat tire on the freeway. That's not really the target of that sixth petition at all, but rather, lead me not into the will and the word that would direct me away from you, O Lord, but would keep me firm in you. The devil does indeed attack us through the circumstances of our life, sickness, hardship, natural disasters, and so forth. But those are the circumstances through which he wants to rob us of our faith. And God never tempts anyone in this way. And we're asking that he would guard and keep us from the way in which the devil always is trying to tempt us in that way.
Listening on WAVA in Washington, D.C., Corrine, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
Hi, Corrine.
Hi. I was just making a comment that my grandmother, she's dead now, but she always told us, if we can't say a regular prayer, always remember to say the Our Father prayer, because it covers everything. And I agree that the Our Father prayer is the best prayer to say.
Corrine, thank you very much. Wise words.
God bless you, Corrine. Your grandma taught you well.
You know, this is the circumstance in which I find myself more often than not, Pastor Bender. Often, this may have more to do with my discipline of prayer than anything else, but often prayer comes at the end of the day when I am at my most tired, when the worries and cares of the day press heavy upon a person. And there's too much for me to pray for if I start putting a list down. There's too much for me to pray for. And the Lord's Prayer, as Corrine's grandmother said, covers it all.
Well, that's exactly right. And sometimes, and Corrine's remark triggered this remembrance for me, sometimes we just simply don't, we don't know what it is that we ought to say. And Paul himself speaks about this. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us in the words of the Lord's Prayer. I'm not necessarily saying that St. Paul was speaking specifically about the Our Father in that passage in Romans 8:26 that speaks of the Spirit making intercession for us. But since the Lord's Prayer is the Word of God, and since the Spirit of God is always at work through the Word of God, it cannot be otherwise that when the Christian prays the Lord's Prayer, believing in Jesus, knowing not what else to pray for, that the Spirit himself is making intercession for him.
There was an odd phenomenon of in the publishing world some years back, not too many years back, four or five, a little book called The Prayer of Jabez, and it was put forth by the author as a prayer God always hears and answers. And it was a rather obscure prayer from a section in the Old Testament, a man named Jabez, and no need to go into great detail. I'm sure you heard about the book, Pastor Bender. But this became the stuff of study in many evangelical congregations all across denominational lines. This book and this prayer was being recommended. Pray it every day earnestly for 30 days, and God will expand your horizons. God will open up the gates of heaven, and you'll find blessing that you've never seen before. And all over the place, Christians were praying this scriptural prayer. Meanwhile, the same churches probably hadn't uttered the Lord's Prayer perhaps ever in their history.
No, that's right. The theology of that prayer of Jabez, not from the Old Testament, but from this particular book that you're referring to and that movement, was really the theology of how to manipulate God to do what you want him to do and to make you a success on your terms. And that is nowhere found in Holy Scripture. It is always God is his will and his good and gracious will to which we are to be subject to, not the other way around.
So this really brings us back around to the whole purpose for which Christ gave this prayer. Of course, his disciples ask, teach us to pray, and he is teaching them to pray. But there is so much more in this Lord's Prayer about the Lord himself, about the one whom we address as Father, than about the Christian's life or his needs. This is really a prayer that teaches us ultimately about our Heavenly Father and his Son, Jesus Christ.
Who he is, what his will is in our for us, and that we might learn to trust in him.
Can you ever exhaust the Lord's Prayer? Can someone pray it and say, okay, prayed that, done that, I'm ready to go on to something else in my prayer life?
No way. I don't see how it can be so. When Jesus said, when you pray, say, that particular word in the Greek, say, indicates that the what comes out of the mouth, what you are to say, is so very important and foundational. He could have used other words, pray something like this, but he very much wanted that prayer to be articulated because it is God's word and because it is God's promise to us. And through it, he wishes to bless us, not according to our terms, but according to his. So often people teach about prayer that, you know, if you have enough faith, this comes out of that theology of the prayer of Jabez again, if you have enough faith, then God will do for you whatever you ask of him. And that is not true. If what you ask of God is not in accordance with God's word, God only answers that which is in accordance with his word, and he always promises to answer that which is in accordance with his word.
Folks, to find out how to contact our guest in this hour, Pastor Peter Bender and the Concordia Catechetical Academy, or to partner with us by joining our monthly donor program called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club, call our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or write us
at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and he's director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor Bender, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much for having me, Todd.
We put ourselves in the position of the disciples here. That's what is intended. And we say, Lord, teach us to pray. And his answer comes to us there from the sure and certain word of Scripture. This is how you are to pray. When you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And there are the Lord's words. He gives them to us, as Pastor Bender said, as a gift. I guarantee you I mentioned the word prayer, and Christians feel guilty. That's the first emotion Christians feel when they hear the word prayer. Guilty, because they say, I don't pray as often as I should, and I don't pray when I should, and I don't pray long enough or for the right things. The whole prayer life of the Christian is fraught with guilt. It certainly is, and that's to be expected. We are Christians, and even St. Paul says we do not pray as we ought. It's one of the things we need to confess before God and seek Christ's forgiveness. But Christ has also given us his own prayer with his own words for us to seek those things from God which God does promise for Christ's sake. This prayer which God does promise to hear and to answer in each and every case according to his good will in our crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen each week to Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues Etc., please visit the audio archive section at kfuo.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of Worldwide KFUO. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.